This is North Shore Today. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. In today's program, our guest, Steve Krause, news editor of the Daily Item in Lynn.
But it's a great honor for Sue Landerson to receive that Blue Ribbon Award. Not a whole lot of people get it in Massachusetts. I think there were five altogether.
Steve Krause, news editor of the Daily Item in Lynn, our guest here today on North Shore Today. So again, with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Great to have you with us on a Thursday, a sparkling Thursday here on the North Shore. And Rick, we got a number of things to talk about. And we've also posted a few videos down at the bottom of the page. We'll talk about that in just a moment and set those up for the folks. But let's begin with what appears to be another story of whether it's hazing or not hazing or whatever it is. It appears to be a story of misconduct out of Winthrop. And they are forfeiting this week's game, football game at Gloucester. So this is the second time it's happened in the Northeastern Conference, both in the small division. I don't know what that means, but it's happened. And we feel horrible for all these athletes that are impacted by this. But apparently the incident involves something that happened maybe on Monday after practice, where students were changing in the locker room and somebody took a video, and then that video got circulated around a little bit. And so the superintendent apparently investigated very quickly, police investigated, and they've shut down the team at least for this week and the game. But and then they'll be dealing with the specific individuals. Thoughts, Richard?
Well, first, the first word that comes to mind is stupid. Kids are, it's drilled into them from the time they go to school about social media, about rights, about publishing things and sharing information and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's just, I'm sure someone's going to call it a kid's prank and blah, 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 but it's just incredibly stupid. And then secondly, at best it's stupid. At worst, it could be something else, but I have no idea. As you just said, Bill, I just feel so bad for all of the kids and parents and friends and everybody else who are impacted by this. I know that in Gloucester, everybody was getting pumped up for this game Friday night. It's an event for people to go to Newell Stadium, four or five times a year, and that's it. And then this gets taken away, and I know Coach Driscoll we've known him so well over the years, and he's been so good to us. I know I have heard through someone else that he is absolutely devastated by this. I mean, he works with kids. He's a father figure. This is just it's just gross, Bill. It's just so sad that this has to happen. I mean, obviously nobody died, and it's not of that nature. But it's just something that can be easily avoided, and it's just sad to see. Hopefully this will, again, get fixed very quickly. Winthrop will get back on, on the field where they belong, and these kids will have learned a very harsh lesson. So it's just so disappointing as a teacher that this continues to happen. And, I'm gonna tie in that quote we've been talking about all week long, respect for life. You've got to have respect for life. And apparently some of that's missing in how we bring people up and how we teach kids. And it's just very, very disturbing and very, very disappointing too, because the kids want to play on both sides. Winthrop, Gloucester, Swampscott, everybody wants to get out there on the field.
Yeah, and again, we don't know whether this is an incident that clearly the facts of the incident are not great, but yet, I go back, Rick, to being in education. The teenage brain is not fully developed, despite to what they think they're fully developed, but they're not. And one of the factors is judgment, and it is not fully developed. And that goes for adults too. But here is a case where, again, when we were young, we did not have these social media decisions that we had to make. But these kids are making hundreds and hundreds of social media decisions every single day, throughout the day, during school time, I'm sure. And yet, and something like this happens, it's more than a mistake. I get that. But it's just a really bad decision is what it turns out to be, because you don't know. Here's the other piece I think about, Rick, is that how often did this happen or variations of this happen in locker rooms across the area, across the country, and this is an incident that becomes public? And not that it shouldn't become public. Again, please don't take this the wrong way. But yet, on the other hand, I'm just thinking that the kid that made this horrible decision, he's not alone. in making that decision, but this one becomes public. And again, that's the price that we pay, you know, that we all pay for this kind of stuff. So anyways, that's our thoughts on it. Again, the TV crews converging here on the North Shore for an incident like this. And again, it's been kind of a busy news week. The young man from Winthrop who grew up in Winthrop, you know, perished on that cargo ship, out with the Hurricane Joaquin last week, and it just tragedy. And again, this is just another story out of Winthrop. And again, the game on Friday night has been postponed or canceled, rather.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, those are all good points. And additionally, additionally, it's uncharted territory for authority figures. This is all new for schools. It's all new for police work too. The social media aspect of it. Sexual harassment, of course, is not new at any age, but the social media aspect of it is. And as you said, Bill, we don't even know what the circumstances are. I did not stay up to see the 11 o'clock news. And you know what? I got to tell you, Channel 7. Oh my goodness, they were hyping this thing all night long. What do you like? Sensationalism. And it's like, stay tuned. We have the video at 11, you know, of one guy doing blah, blah, blah. And it's like, seriously? And the first time they had it on, the promo, it caught me. And I said, well, maybe I'll stay up. And then the second time, it's like, wait a minute. This borders on voyeurism, you know. So I said, no. It was just awful the way they were hyping it. These are high school kids. They're high school kids. And as you pointed out, Bill, it could range from age 14 to age 18 or 19. So let's just sit back and you know, see what happens here and get back on the right track. And I wish Winthrop Vikings, the Winthrop school, and especially Coach Driscoll nothing but the best. I know that they're going to recover from this, and you know they'll come up with a better system, and things will get worked out, and it'll be all for the good at some point.
All right, sounds good. Steve Krause will weigh in on some of the news stories in just a couple of moments for us. And Rick, I just want to set up a couple of videos that we have. The All-Star Comedy Night to benefit Autism Speaks and the Shoba Learning Center, led by Paul Halloran and his family and others, is tonight at the Montvale Plaza in Stoneham. And Don Gavin out in the Hunt runs the show every night. Every year, rather, for Paul. And there's a lot of great comedians that show up. I'm not sure if you can still get in, but if you're interested, you can try to call Paul today at 617-872-0384, 617-872-0384. We posted a video of Don Gavin with an appearance on David Letterman from a number of years ago. And so this is just classic Don Gavin. So that's his style. And if you go tonight, you'll see a lot more of that tonight with Don Gavin and a lot of other comedians. We also posted a video with Jack Welch, native of Salem, former CEO of General Electric, his three tips to graduates going out into the world. And so that might be useful for graduates that, you know, here we are, you got out of school, you're still in the summer and looking for a job. Who knows? It's pretty useful information. And then the Cubs won last night. I got a quick clip here. Now listen to this. This is Harry Carey, the legendary Cardinal and Cubs announcer who's passed away, no longer with us. But the Cubs won their first playoff game last night, and so there's pennant fever in Chicago. And this is a clip of Harry Carey from this is years ago here, when the season ends and they didn't make the playoffs. But take a listen. Here's Harry Carey.
Bouncing ball. And the ball game is over. Too bad we couldn't have had a victory that meant a pennant, but that will come. Sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series, and maybe sooner than we think.
All right, so that's Harry Carey, and down below on our website, we have Will Ferrell on Letterman as well, and doing his great Harry Carey impression. I mean, the impressions are better than listening to Harry Carey. So it's one of Will Ferrell's better things. And so it's pretty funny. And in light of the fact that the Cubs won a playoff game last night and they're on their way, and it's a possibility of a World Series for the Cubs. So good luck to the Cubs. And our Red Sox have finished in last place three out of the last 4 years. So
hey, I got a couple of things. First of all, I listened to you and Andy talk about the Red Sox on yesterday's North Shore Today. And you didn't mention the two elephants in the room. figuratively speaking, not literally, and that would be Pablo Sandoval and Hanley Ramirez, and I wanted to get Andy's comments on each of those. But the other thing is, I grew up, my high school years, I lived in Texas, and before the before Houston Astros were formed, before they were became a major league team, I used to have to listen to KMOX in St. Louis. That was the nearest major league baseball team when I lived in Killeen, Texas, and went to Killeen High School. And the two announcers were Jack Buck and Harry Carey. And I remember in 1964 when the Cardinals won the pennant, and at the end of the game, it was the Cardinals won the pennant, the Cardinals won the pennant. That was Harry Carey, and it was my introduction to the legendary duo. And of course, Jack Buck went on to become a national announcer, and son Joe Buck is a national announcer, and Harry Carey, as you said, moved over to the Cubs. But they had a absolutely unique broadcasting style that I'm not sure is out there. Some people try to duplicate that now, Bill. But these guys, you know, they were I don't know, they were celebrities when they first got behind the mic, I guess. And it is fun to listen to those.
Well, you and I used to love listening to Jack Buck do Monday Night Football on the radio years ago, and when Monday Night Football started. So I'm thinking that was back 80s. He was the Monday Night Radio Football announcer, and then Harry Carey. I remember the same thing. Harry Carey was on KMOX, which is like a WBZ type of signal. You could listen to it in probably more than 38 states because they're out in the Midwest. Who knows? But maybe not because it's a no, it probably could because it's in the middle of the country. And I remember listening to Harry Carey and Jack Buck and thinking, well, this is the real definition of a homer announcer, but yet entertaining and much beloved by each of the communities that he was in. I mean, they loved him in Chicago. He moved over there and, of course, was a character as well. He would lead the seventh inning stretch with Take Me Out to the Ballpark, and I don't know whether he got a little senile in the end or what, but that all added to the entertainment, and I think you'll see that in the video with Will Ferrell. But anyways, it was a classic, and I mean, there's nobody like a Harry Carey now. You know what I'm saying?
Well, maybe there is.
We just don't know.
Well, Vin Scully is comes to mind, but Vin Scully has got that oh my God, that velvet voice, like who was the Velvet Fog there, the singer, Mel Torme. Scully.
But not Scully's not a character. He's a professional announcer. You know
right,
what I'm
right. saying? But what's wrong with homers? Especially, you know, I mean, you and I, we cover the whole league, and so if you're on national TV, that's hard. But if you're a Red Sox announcer, what is wrong with being a homer? I don't understand that.
Well,
you're their announcer, so I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, if you're a fan, that's what you. Anyway, as a kid, I really enjoyed listening to Harry Carey root for the Cardinals.
Well, you know, and yeah, exactly, and that was the time you would have baseball season. You could have Harry Carey on your radio. You'd have basketball season. You'd have Johnny Most on the radio.
There you go. There's another one.
I mean, how about there's no one more of a homer than Johnny Most, I guess, right?
Nope. And McFilthy and McNasty.
All right. So, anyways, so Harry Carey, God bless him, and God bless the Cubs. Anyway,
there you go. Go Cubbies. Go Cubs.
Okay. And anyway, we'll be following the Cubs and wish them a lot of luck. And again, Steve Krause is just ahead here on North Shore Today. Spread the word. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. Rick and I will be back in just a few moments, but Rick, we just got to plug our two football games this weekend. Peabody at Classical Friday night, and the big one, Beverly hosting Marblehead noontime at Endicott College Saturday, and weather should be fine, should be a great game, and looking forward to that one on Saturday. So, we'll remind you, you are listening to msonewsports.com. We are joined by Steve Krause, the news editor of the Daily Item of Lynn. And Steve, welcome, and good to have you back again this week.
How are you, Bill?
Great. Well, Steve, let's talk right about the item right now, because one of your reporters picked up a kind of a nice award in the past few days. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, Thor Jorgensen, who's been with us for 27 years, won the Wallach Award by the New England Press Association for community journalism. And I have to say that Thor certainly deserves all the accolades that he gets. He's the steadiest hand I think we have. And he's really, in a lot of ways, been a hero in the transition between the old ownership and the new ownership. Because, A, he's been a constant. And B, in the face of all kinds of changes and upheavals and everything like that, Thor is just, he's been a story machine. And he has ethics, you know, he, a lot of ethics. I shouldn't say just ethics. He has a lot of ethics in how he does stories, how he approaches them. You know, he's a very sympathetic ear to people who have stories to tell, and he allows them to tell those stories. He's been very attentive to veterans and to other groups, very attentive to schools, to kids. And I just say it's a very well-deserved award for Thor.
Yeah. So Thor is on the clearly on the news side and covers like almost a variety of different stories. The way and it's not the way it used to be. It you mix up communities. It's not like in the old days somebody would cover Peabody, somebody covers whatever. Lynn.
Well, he's also our city editor too. Organizes coverage of events in all of our communities, and then he personally handles Lynn politics and Lynn schools. So he does. He's got quite a bit of a load to carry.
So I didn't look at this one, but he must have been the author of the, or certainly had a lot of input in the our story in Wednesday's paper about the Sewell Anderson School.
That came from another source, but it's a great honor for Sewell Anderson to receive that Blue Ribbon Award. It not a whole lot of people get it in Massachusetts. I think there were five altogether. And no more than 350, I think, in the country to get that recognition. And there are certain criteria that you have to meet to get it, almost all of them academic. And I think that what Mayor Kennedy said is very telling in that, you know, we our education system in Massachusetts that is reliant on testing. We have the MCAS test, I believe, at three different times during a 12-year life of a student. And even though it's probably not the intention to do it, I'm sure that learning is geared toward those tests. It's just not that anybody does it intentionally, but I just think it often ends up that way. So for the school to be recognized for its overall academic performance, I think is outstanding, and congratulations to them.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is MCAS kind of reporting time too. I think a lot of the schools have their MCAS scores from this past year when they took them in the spring or earlier in the year. I guess the science one in the high school is in June and so on. So, but they're getting the scores, and that information has been coming out in dribs and drabs in different communities around the area.
Yeah, and it's awful tense times when that happens for schools, you know, because the last thing you want to do is go backwards. But in Sewell Anderson's case, I mean, this certainly gives him an awful lot of cachet overall. I mean, it's still an A1 school, and it's really worked hard for its status and to keep this status.
Yeah. Steve, and of course, Lynn schools, as in other urban areas, they're under a lot of challenges that other districts may not be under with the language issue, the poverty issue. All of those things are all factors and all negative factors when it comes to test scores.
Yeah, and you have to factor all that in, obviously, and there are certain districts within the Lynn School where that's going to be more pronounced than others. And I think that in all of the high schools, you have to take that into consideration, you know, where people have come from all the way up to where they've what they've become, and obviously the road for some is an awful lot longer in twists and turns than others. And you know, I often find it unfair, you know, when these scores come out and no distinction is made, you know, between a town that has a more homogeneous community and a city like Lynn, who's, I think that there, I believe that there's one school, it was the Connery School, and it represents something like 26 different ethnic groups, and the Harrington School, which is downtown, is not that far behind.
Yeah, no, exactly. Speaking of schools and moving to another community, Saugus, I understand, is very close to naming a superintendent,
interim superintendent. You know, Michael Tempesta resigned last month, I think 2 days after school started. I don't think it was expected. He took a job in Worcester. I don't know why. Maybe it's closer to home. I don't know. But it's a very challenging job. It's not like he left to count his money. Yeah, he took a very challenging job in Worcester, which leaves Saugus in a spot where it's a critical decision, even though it is an interim job, because of what the town is in the middle of. They're in the middle of, you know, the whole school building association process in its attempts to build a new high school. So, you know, it is a very critical time for them to have a superintendent on board. So they're going to meet Thursday tonight and hopefully make that decision.
Yeah. We're talking with Steve Krause, news editor of the Item and Lynn. And Steve, let me just maybe touch on one other issue. That's the hospital issue. And I know you've devoted a lot of coverage to the hospital with the Partners Healthcare saying that they're going to close the hospital in a number of years. That seems to be a moving target as to when that happens. I know also they've started, the SEIU has started running radio advertisements. I don't know if you've heard any of those about the hospital. And basically, those advertisements, I think there also was an ad out and maybe in the Item as well in the last week or so. But those items kind of mirror what I remember hearing Tim Phelan say, a candidate. I don't know if he was even a councilor at large candidate, but he might have been a few months ago when he addressed city council about what was going on at the hospital. He pretty much laid it out, and those facts are pretty much in those commercials that I'm hearing.
Yes, I mean, essentially, they're going to close the hospital. They haven't said that in as many words, but they're taking just about everything that a hospital is known for. Initially, it's the inpatient care, and they're moving it over to Salem. They've said that they'll keep the emergency room there a little longer with the ultimate goal of moving it someplace else, so that what's left is basically doctor's offices. Now, they thought they were going to be able to do this in 18 months, and they decided, or they came to the conclusion that that might be a little bit too ambitious. So now the goal is to have this all done in 3 years. So that does kind of buy some people some time to try to come up with an alternative, whatever that alternative is, or maybe to talk them out of it or to litigate their way out of it. I don't know. But 18 months and 3 years, I mean, that's another year and a half that you have to do whatever it is you want to do to stop this.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, and I know the people that know the story are all probably also familiar with the extra space now at the, in the Salem Hospital complex that they own, the Shaughnessy building, which is now empty but needs a lot of rehabbing, so they couldn't close it down tomorrow even if they wanted to, but that would be an option for them to move whatever beds and space they have is to move them into that space.
The goal was to use that space, and they thought they could do a quick turnaround on rehabbing, and then they realized that they'd only have to do more. So they just figured they'd do it all at once, and they're figuring it's going to take 3 years to do.
All right, Steve, anything else you want to share with us at all? Here we are, foliage season, football season, whatever. It's all happening.
Well, I just, again, not being out covering the games like I used to be, it just seems to be going right by. We're already in week five, I believe, and only going to be a couple of three more weeks before we start talking about playoffs, and good Lord.
Exactly. And then right after that, before you know it, it's Thanksgiving, and the Christmas decorations are appearing in the stores already.
Don't rush the season.
Exactly, right. Well, that's Steve Krause. He's the news editor of the Daily Item in Lynn here on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, that's Steve Krause. Always good listening to Steve. Great guy, and we've known him for so many years. Don't forget, as Bill mentioned earlier, football games this weekend. Going to be a great weekend. It's a holiday weekend, so I'm going to take a couple of days off. See you guys back on Tuesday or Wednesday. And in the meantime, everybody be safe. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy the Topsail Fair. And have a great holiday.
Rick, I also wanted to mention, I just had a thought here, and now I've lost it. Oh, I know what it was. The student-athletes, the Moynihan student-athlete program is up and running for the school year. And next week, we'll have the announcement for the September winners. So they've been nominated. The committee is mulling them over, and we'll have that announcement posted on our website on Thursday, the winners. So we're looking forward to that on Thursday. And again, our two football games, Friday night, it is Peabody at Lynn Classical, and on Saturday, Two undefeated teams in the NEC large. It would be Beverly playing host to Marblehead with a noon kickoff. So we got a lot happening this weekend. We also have live video of that game. So please spread the word about that if you can. The live video on Saturday for Saturday's game. So with Rick Moore, Rick, have a great trip. I'm Bill Newell. This is MSONewsSports.com and North Shore Today.